Good evening, everybody. I'm Joanna. I'm the Discovering Buddhism coordinator, so my job here is to help you and help the instructors in these courses. So this is our fourth meeting of this module. Is there anyone here tonight who is new, who hasn't been before? Okay, great. Well, welcome. And there are handouts, three handouts on a table by the back door. Make sure you've got those. Okay, so next week we're going to take a break. We're not going to meet. We'll be off for the holidays. And then we will meet again in 2 weeks on January 5th and then the 12th. And then we will have our practice day, which will be January 24th, a Saturday, from 9 to 12 in the morning. Yeah, and that will be it for this module. So I hope things are... You look confused.
So what was the date again?
24th. January 24th, yeah. So if you have any questions about sort of the logistics of the class, please see me. I'll be around afterwards. Thank you.
I just got to get some tissue. Okay, well, welcome. Back or welcome here or whatever it is. I'll try to do a little review for those of you who's the first time. Excuse me. We're going to take a break today, too. This one's going to be a fun class because I want to have some fun, don't you? I mean, it's the holidays and half my job isn't, the people aren't there. I'm like, I'm there in my sweatpants half the day. So I'm in that frame of mind. So that's what we're going to be kind of maybe chilling out today. But not, you know, we talked before about, you know, not too loose, not too tight. So if you're too loose, we'll tighten it up a little bit. If you're feeling really tight, we'll loosen it up a little bit, and then we'll be playing some good music. So let's start by thinking about why you came here. So this is all about setting your intention. We always start our practices, even we can start our day, start anything. Whether we realize it or not, we start everything with an intention. When you get in the car, when you go to the gym, everything has some intention. And what we try to do in our practice is really be very conscious of our intention and try to raise it to the highest level. So some of you have been practicing with this quite a bit. So before you practice at home, it'll help your meditation if you really try to get a vision of why you're going to do this, and as bright and clear and high a vision as possible. So take a minute to think about why you came today. Was it to try to deepen your meditation practice, to gain more peace of mind, your curiosity? What was your curiosity about? Just think about that for a little bit, what your personal intention is today. And sometimes it helps to think of others who have accomplished what you would like to accomplish. And trying to kind of tie your intention to where they have gone. That your intention is to be able to follow that path. And then we're going to do our 9-round breathing meditation. But first I'll go over the posture. So for those of you seated on the floor, you know, you're on the cushion. You want the cushion to be able to lift your rear end a little bit higher than your knees. So you can get a second cushion under there, or you can play with that grain or whatever's in here. So you can try to sit like that. And at home, in your chairs, you can do the same thing. You can take a small cushion, put it under your butt so that your back is straight, and that'll keep you from having to use, you know, help your balance, basically. It'll help you align your spine so that you can just relax a little bit more. The full lotus position is with both, you know, your feet up on your thighs, but that's pretty uncomfortable for a long time, but I just want you to know what the full lotus position looks like on the paintings on the wall. But you can, when you're seated, you just get your feet comfortable, get your legs comfortable. If you're in a chair, then sit so that both feet are flat on the floor and, you know, about hip width apart. And you take your left hand, the traditional posture is with your left hand right below your navel, your right hand gently on top of it, so you're making this oval shaped, and then you're pressing your thumbs just lightly together, so you're holding a little piece of paper. Place that below your navel, your arms out away from your body, so that your breathing can become deep and relaxed. The most important part, again, is that your spine is aligned like coins stacked one upon the other. And we have a tendency to kind of arch our back and throw ourselves forward when we're trying to sit up straight. And actually, it's more a balancing act. See, at home, you can kind of play with how you can position your lower back, middle back, upper back, so that it's more about a balance. And then your head is your top of the spine, so you don't want to lift your chin up because that can cause a lot of excitement in your mind, but also breaks that line in your spine. So you want to just tuck your chin a little bit so that your crown of your head, the top of your head back here, is coming straight up off of your spine. And then just make sure your jaw isn't clenched. So you put your tongue at the back of your teeth, your upper teeth. And then have your eyes closed or lightly open. For those of us who struggle with sleeping during meditation, you might want to keep your eyes open a little bit. You can even gaze at the rug or the ground. And I'll walk us through the 9-round breathing meditation. You're going to take your right hand, your finger, and place it on your left nostril and inhale through your right nostril. And then move that same finger over to your right nostril and exhale through your left nostril. And then do that 2 more times. And now with your left hand, close your right nostril and inhale through your left. Two more times. Then through both nostrils. And now we'll do that 1 more time on you with your own timing, your own breathing, but we'll add the visualization. So during the first round, you're imagining you're breathing in this pure, clear, crystal energy. All the holy beings, so that you're being filled, all of your cells, your whole mind and energy is filled with this pure energy. And when you're exhaling then, through your other nostril, you're exhaling all the attachment that has gotten in your way, clinging to things, expectations, hopes, all of that. You're exhaling that in the form of thick black smoke out beyond the horizon. So then you do that 3 times. And then the second time when you're exhaling, you're exhaling all the anger that you've experienced that's gotten in your way and been obstacles. You do that 3 times. And then the last time, you're exhaling ignorance, which is basically what we don't know. Anything. We don't know what we don't know. Just our blind spots. What's keeping us from being completely perfect. So anything that's blocking us, we just exhale that. So do that 1 time through, and then I'll lead us into the next stage. When you finish that, just put all of your awareness on your breath. The inhale and exhale, one round meaning being one. You can count up to five and then start again, or if you prefer, count to 10. So we'll do this for the next 5 minutes, and every time your mind wanders away from the count, gently bring it back, being very gentle, rejoicing that you actually noticed your mind wandering from the count. Every time you bring it back, it gets a little more focused, a little more confident in it and strong in its ability to concentrate. And then using the count to tie your mind to something, strengthening its ability to focus. Now at your own, we'll do this for about 5 minutes. Before I forget, somebody asked me how often you can do or how many rounds of that 9-round breathing meditation is recommended. And no more than 3. It's really meant to just kind of clear out your mind so that you, then you can place it somewhere or start the focus meditation. Maybe there was a couple of other questions. I've got better answers to than last time. So let's do kind of a little quick review for folks who weren't here before. What's the reason for meditating? Why are we doing this? This is about how to meditate, but why are we doing this? Wait a minute. Don't everybody talk at once. Where's the mic? Familiarize yourself with positive mind states. And that, you know, especially from a Buddhist point of view, our minds have, you know, they're beginningless and endless. So we have just, the habits that we have are deeply entrenched. And that we have to do something to try to change those habits. And so meditation, that's why meditation is the number 2 module in the Discovering Buddhism class after What is the Mind. And so focusing, so there's 2 kinds of meditation that they basically fall into 2 kinds of camps. One is focused meditation, learning to bring the mind back so that it can be as focused as a laser beam. And the second kind of meditation is analytical meditation, so that you can take that laser beam and put it on something and learn more from that and gain a deeper understanding. And so you can do those, you should be doing those 2 in tandem so that one will support the other and vice versa. And we're conjoining when we do, which we'll do today, some more of the analytical meditations and even just review meditation or thinking through some of the things that we're going to talk about, it's conjoining that ability to focus on the topic. And as we talked about last week, you know, the whole mind-body connection, so that, yes, you could just be sitting in your office thinking about some of these things and it wouldn't be harmful. It certainly would be helpful. You'd certainly learn something. But it goes to a different level when we have conjoined it with this whole centering practice and this breathing and something, it's even hard to put into words, but something completely else comes into play. And so the Tibetans say that thoughts travel on air. So if thoughts travel on air, then, you know, that's why our breathing is such an important part of centering ourselves and then thinking about something. So that's one of the ways I like to think about it. I love that phrase, thoughts travel on air. What exactly does that mean? Well, keep thinking about it. Okay, and then why is it important to have topics? So we talked last week, too, about, I think you were saying how, you know, when you're rowing at the gym, you get very centered and you're not having a lot of extra thoughts. Same thing like with mountain climbers or painters or anything. You can really use your mindfulness in any activity you have and expand that ability to be mindful. It's different, though, when we're not doing anything extra with our bodies, when we're complete, because even though it may feel like nothing else is coming into mind, I'm not thinking too much. I can keep my mind pretty much focused even though I'm going to drink some water. Still, your mind is telling you to do all these extra things. And so if you eliminate that as much as you possibly can and then just try to focus, it brings a different kind of ability, a focusing ability. But like we said last week, there's all kinds of things you can do all during the day that help build that mindfulness, that help build that focusing ability, and then putting into practice, you know. So what can you do when you're standing in a long line of upset people and it's hot and crowded? You know, what can you do then? That's exactly why we're practicing in someplace comfortable, so that then we can go and do it in someplace uncomfortable. So like I said before, best to first have some success, and then you take it out and you have some more success and you build like that. You don't just jump into the deep end. Oh, I mean, you could, but so much nicer not to do it that way. And then, you know, there's a couple of different ways of watching the mind. So I thought about this a little bit more, and I got some more answers to your question as well about the clear light. I think you would ask me that. So, and I was also reading, I'm not sure if it was in one of your articles or in something else, but there's the as we've been counting our thoughts, watching our thoughts as we count our breath, and I've been encouraging you to see them almost like waves coming up, and then you put your, you know, you kind of shine that light on, oh, I'm having this thought, and it starts to dissipate. You know, it tends to dissipate if we don't follow it, if we don't just blindly follow our thought. So that's really watching our thoughts watching our thoughts, right? And then when we tried last week to watch our mind, not just our thoughts, you're still going to be aware of your thoughts rising up. But the larger question was to try to have some kind of sense of what is the mind. And it does come back to the clear light, because it is not necessarily that at that moment you're going to have that experience of the clear light nature of the mind, but it improves that ability so that at some point some people do reach that state in meditation. But certainly throughout, there are different experiences where the clear light of the mind does arise, and so looking for it in a kind of meditation like this, or focusing on that and trying to search for it, only strengthens that ability to do that at times like at the time of our death, which that's a whole other module, but just leading you up to that. And so I was thinking before how people were talking about things getting in the way of that, like visual images when they're meditating. The same thing that we're doing with our thoughts, do with those things. So we're trying to give our thoughts room. If we try to clamp down on them, that's just, it's not really usually going to work. It's going to backfire. So we're having a lot of thoughts. What we're trying to do is almost give them, you know, kind of one way that some people do that is almost put the thoughts out in the ocean so they have a lot of room, but again, you're not following them. So that way they kind of tend to dissipate. Same thing with the visual distractions that might be coming to your mind. You close your eyes, you start to see all these colors. You could follow them. You could follow the different things that are coming up into your mind, or I told you about the sensation I had about my ear and I got all excited about it, right? I was totally following that. Instead of just giving it some space and letting it just kind of dissipate, because that's not really the focus of my meditation, right? That's not really what I'm trying to do, is go off on those tangents. So just kind of expanding around it in the same way you might when we were talking about annoying things that are happening out in your life, or like when I was, that story I told you when I was waiting for my mother, instead of, you know, tightening around what's going on in your mind, just kind of backing off and letting it have a little more room. And so I'm trying to make the difference between like suppressing something and expanding away from it so that it just kind of dies down on its own. And then one other little thing before we start doing some of this, I was reading about how in order to really do the single-pointed meditation, the first step is really to develop, cultivate a wish for it. You know, that's why we're talking about what is the experience like when you really reach some of those higher states. So you begin to have some kind of wish to achieve that. And then the second part is to make a determination to do it. You know, getting that cushion, finding the time in your day, putting it on your list of things to do, whatever it is, but it has to be something that is exciting to do, something that you want to do, and not something that, oh, I have to do that before class, or, oh, my goodness, it's homework, you know, not like that. So, again, the other good rule of thumb is stop your meditation when it's feeling, when you're at a high point, not when you feel like, oh, I didn't do what I wanted to do, or this is a drag, because next time you look at that meditation cushion, it's going to make you want to throw up. Any thoughts or questions that you all have had during the week that you want to ask or share before we try one? Okay. One other thing I wanted to tell you all about. So my mother was a dancer, and she worked in the New Orleans public schools for a while as an artist in residence, teaching kids in these really hot and sweaty classrooms. This was way before air conditioning in the schools. And she had this great idea, and this one kid, it was tough schools, and this one school, the kids were always in fights. And she was very aware of the whole mind-body connection, right? So she had this idea, and the principal backed her up on this. Every kid had to register their resting heart rate. They had to find their resting heart rate, and then it was registered in the principal's office. And so then the kids, when they got into a fight, and they were brought into the principal's office, they had to get their heart rate down to that resting rate before they could describe the story and talk to the principal. So I thought it was brilliant, because if you watch that TED Talk that I had up here the other day, it talks exactly about the heart rate, right, and the connection with the heart rate and how our thinking changes with our heart rate. And if we can reduce our heart rate and get back to that centered place, we have more access to all of the stuff that we want to have access to, some of our wisdom. So here she was doing this in a setting that I thought was just brilliant. So same thing for us. If we're trying to solve a problem or trying to think about something, you know, the very first thing we can do is try to call up what's happening to us in meditation. Even if we're not in a meditative place, we can still get in touch with our breathing, call to mind certain images, go in the bathroom, do the 9-round breathing meditation, go back to work. Okay, so let's try one. Let's do a couple of meditations since this is the holidays. You probably have done this one. Some of you may have done this one many times, so you could put a different twist on it or try to go a little bit deeper with this meditation. And then we'll stop and talk about it, and then I'm going to do another one. All right, so get comfortable. I'm going to walk you through this one. Okay, let's just take a couple of deep cleansing breaths. And then imagine you're out somewhere, field, the beach, street, and at a far distance someone is walking towards you. And you can't make out who it is. You just see a figure of somebody walking towards you. And as they get closer, you realize it's somebody you really love. You can't wait to see this person, somebody who makes you happy when you see them. And they get closer. And notice how you feel. Everything. Where in your body you feel happy. Do you see colors? Your thoughts, your energy. Notice everything. And then greet this person. And then just have them stand to the side. And then at a distance, there's another person walking towards you. You can't make them out. Too far away. It might be somebody you're hoping to see. Somebody who makes you feel just as good as this other person. But as they get closer, you realize it's actually not somebody who makes you very happy. Someone you tend to avoid. And notice how you feel, where you feel it, your thoughts, does anything in your body change? How would you greet this person? And then just have them stand to the side. And now comes a third person on the in the distance. You can't make them out. But as they get closer, you realize it's someone you don't know very well. You might have seen them in passing, but you really... You're not sure who they are, what their name is. You don't have any real relationship with this person. How does that feel? What are the differences? And then greet this person and just have them stand there. So now you have three people standing in front of you. And looking at the stranger, what would happen to make this somebody who you enjoyed as much as the other person? imagine what would take place to make them one of your favorite people. And then what would they do to fall into the other camp of somebody you do not like, that you tend to avoid? And then looking at your friend, what would they do to fall out of favor with you? What are the things that would come to be that would change them from cherished friend to someone you avoid? And then looking at the person who you do avoid, what would change? What story would there be to make them move from person you avoid to person you love to be around? Can you see how impermanent and flimsy these categories actually are? Doesn't mean we don't need to be careful and discriminate between people, but can we sense how fluid the boundaries are? Can you generate a sense of how freeing it would be if we had more mutable boundaries, if we could feel more equilibrium to all the different people in our lives? If we ourselves had less buttons to push, what would that feel like? And moving away from this, think of something this week where you wish you had had a little bit more patience, a little bit less irritation, something small and doable, not a huge deal, but something just a little that would have made just a little bit more difference if you had been able to let something roll off your back or have more patience when you were driving or shopping or whatever it was. Just bring that to mind. Bring that situation to mind, go back through it, and can you catch the time, the moment that your irritation or impatience started to rise, and redo it. See if you can expand around that feeling so that irritation or impatience or annoyance just settles right back down into the larger ocean of your mind. And you're able to feel something completely opposite. Just immense patience and love in that situation. So take a few minutes to just do that. was having such a good reliving of a bad experience that I didn't want to stop. It felt so much different. And that's the point when you get to a meditation, analytical meditation, when you're actually just kind of, I don't know how to describe it, you get in that zone where it's not anymore just thinking, you're actually kind of in that experience. That's the time to stop and just kind of soak it up. So they're saying with kind of analytical meditation, you can kind of go in through it and through different steps, and sometimes you almost get this felt sense of it, if we're meditating on impermanence or equilibrium or whatever it is. And that's the time then just to stop and kind of try to rest right in that experience. So what I'd like you to do is, I think the groups are all mixed up now and new, and there's all kinds of different people. So we had gotten into groups of like five before, and so just turn and kind of make these little cells of five. And when you do, I want you just to describe what you want, what the meditation was like for you right now, and then we'll come back to the larger group and do that. So some of you have already been in groups, so you can help the newer people find a group. But try to make it no more than five, because otherwise it's hard to get a chance to talk and be heard. Just basically introduce yourselves and share that experience, if it was helpful or not, if you got stuck, and also how your meditation practice is going. Okay, and come on back to the larger group now. Come on back. Thank you. I got to overhear some great conversations, and I thought we can share, because there are people watching at home. Hi, Eileen. Hi, Joe. And I'm sure they would like to hear some of this. We have several mics around the room. That's why we pass the mics around, because there's people listening at a distance. I heard little snippets of things. I heard, I hope you don't mind, but I heard, you know, how hard it is to meditate at home versus here. And, you know, some people meditate much better in a group, and there are group meditations you can join. You can look on the calendar and see. But you can also try to create that kind of energy in your house by doing something meaningful to your, for yourself, whatever religious practice you have, or setting up a special time, lighting a candle, starting with the same things we do, setting your intention. Say, okay, for 5 minutes I'm going to do, you know, really trying to do that. And also maybe even visualize yourself surrounded by other people or people who inspire you. But really trying to make it, they have that same kind of energy as this place does. And you'll notice that if you do it at a certain time in a certain place, that place will start to kind of hold that same kind of energy for you. And then it'll be easier for you to take that energy and go elsewhere. One time I saw this movie called In the Shadow of Motown. And it's all about, you know, how Motown started, and they all practice in this basement in Detroit somewhere. And for years and years and years, you know, little Stevie Wonder, all these great musicians. So then years later, some of them went back. It was the backup singers, I think. They went back there, and they said, you know, it's totally different now. The whole building was different. But when they walked in the basement, they felt it instantly, this energy. And that made so much sense to me, because I was questioning all this stuff and all the stuff I was learning here. But that makes so much sense to me. I could understand why you'd walk in the basement after all the energy that they had created in that room, right? By practicing and playing this music over and over again. Well, that's the same thing that we do here. And actually, that's the same thing that you do. You do, when you're practicing, you are that basement. You know, you're carrying that around. So then it's just a matter of kind of like getting into that zone. You don't have to go to that building. You don't have to go to that basement to feel that vibe, because you've created it yourself by the practice that you've done. That's what you're trying to build up. What else? What else came up? What came up? Any questions, thoughts, comments? I heard something else that was really... Nothing? Yeah. Hold on, one of these three people is going to run it with a mic towards you.
We were talking about about really working hard at meditation.
Yeah.
And something that suggested to me was to think of it as being like a butterfly, that a butterfly moves around lightly and gets blown away and then goes back to the flower and gets blown away, and that's okay. That's really a way meditation can be. And for me, that was really helpful, because I had a really kind of heavy, striving way of approaching it.
Yeah.
Work at it.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I think that's an important point, because, you know, we'll just talk, I really like the analogy of the butterfly. Kind of the quieter you are and the stiller you are and the less you're chasing, the more it might just come right to you. And there's different ways in what we think this is going to unfold for us that we have to be open to, in order to kind of invite that and cultivate it in. As long as we are cultivating it, we might be surprised at the way that it'll actually come. So for me, you know, my inner chatter was so much, and I was trying to make it stop, you know, really what I was telling you before, like trying to push that down. But when I decided just let it exist and look over it, you know, like let it just exist as though it was a TV in the room that I was going to ignore and stop trying to make it disappear, I just gave it so much less energy. It was fine. That little chatter could go on here, and I was focusing more and more there, and sooner that became brighter and this became less. So there's all kinds of things that you can play with about how to, because our minds are really slippery. As soon as I conquered my sleepiness, well, then I was off, you know, with the monkey mind. So we have to just be very adaptable to what we're going to try and use and experiment with it. Years ago when I was in my 20s, I was taking martial arts, and the teacher had us sit, like back to back. It was like maybe 3 feet between me and the other person, and then she put something between us and said, you're going to try to turn around and grab it first, okay? So try hard to grab it first. So we were all doing this for a while and having various levels of success. And then she said, okay, now try soft. And it just, you know, we were like, what? Because we were all sitting there like this, ready to turn and grab that thing. And then when she said, now try soft, our whole body relaxed. We were like, oh, yeah, try soft. It was a completely different experience. So that's sometimes what I, similarly to your striving for certain states of meditation, you know, try soft. Just try something completely different than what you're, the way you're doing it. Talk differently to yourself about it, you know, not be so mean to yourself about it, you know. Really be kind to what you're trying to do something amazing, you know. And there's times where it feels amazing. So, yeah. Sorry, I'm rattling on here. Anything else that came up?
Has a very different experience of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Like what?
So, for instance, I mean, in our group, one person, for instance, got to see the three people, then lost concentration. Mm-hmm. The other person, you know, was very conscious about it, was feeling the buttons that were pushed. The other person, you know, chose the person that was a friendly person, a family member. So it was difficult to see that person doing something bad. Completely different experiences in three people.
Right.
The other thing that was nice in the group was that some people were trying things from the experiences of other people from last meeting, which was, you know, really nice to see that. It's a good experience to share.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I do that with you all, because it's so much easier. Sorry, my foot's cramping. So much easier to do that in a small group, you know. And just like you had those three different experiences, then on different days, you're all going to have different experiences with that. Any questions or thoughts about that exercise, about the three different people? Because sometimes people really have very strong feelings about that. I've had some definite questions and comments about that. I mean, you get the whole point of it, right? It's not just to see the fluidity of what people can become in your life and how easily they can move back and forth between those. And it's not that we don't have to, you know, be smart and be careful about what people are doing in our lives. That's not the point. But to see that the borders between those labels is very fluid. And often that this is all, like when I'm going through, I'm like, oh yeah, well if they did this for me and if they were nice to me and it's all about me completely. Or if they were like me and if they talked to me about these things and if they apologized for that, you know, it's just completely 100% centered around, you know, moi. And so that kind of loosens it up a bit too. It's like, oh my God, that's really, wow. Especially when I'm just sitting quietly doing that, because then it's like amplified in my head that's where it's coming from. Because before, when I'm doing that, I'm very much focused on, the facts of what this person did, you know, the story about this thing. It takes on its, but when I ask, well, what would change that? It's all very much, you know, them making me feel better. So. How did the last one go about thinking of something that happened this week and wanting to redo it a little bit differently? I hope you all picked something doable, right? Something not humongous, but just, you know, that time that you were like, in the line, that you could have been a little bit different. Okay. All right. Anybody been practicing with any of those in real life? Because that's been the ongoing homework, remember? Oh, you have? All right. Tell us. Can you? No? Oh, okay. Anybody have one they want to tell us? Oh, great. The mic right near you.
Well, this was actually a couple of weeks ago, and it was similar to what you said in the airport. I was waiting in the doctor's office, and I really like my doctor a lot, but she takes it's nothing to wait an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So this time I, you know, thinking, well, I'm going to have to go up to the window soon and tell them I have to leave. I'm, you know, starting to figure out what I'm going to say, how I'm going to get out of this. I need to leave. And I turned it around, and I thought, she's treating someone's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's treating someone's daughter. She's treating my mother. She's treating my daughter. And she's taking all this time. And so I was so happy then that she was spending all this time while I was waiting, but mm-hmm. she was spending this time and all this love and care on other people.
Oh, nice.
So that, you know, I have daughters, so that's what I kept thinking. She's helping, someone's daughter is sick, and she's helping someone's daughters.
Yeah,
my
that's
daughters
nice. Well, thanks for letting us know that. Well, that's nice. And you know, because it's important to catch it right before, because otherwise when it's already out the gate, it's so much harder to bring that thing back. And then it becomes that kind of clunky. But if you catch it right, like you did, that's perfect. Today I was sitting at the counter in Whole Foods, and it was getting pretty crowded, and this woman moved closer to me because she was giving somebody else more room. And I caught this way in advance, but I just knew, like, if people sit too close to me, it makes me go like, you know. But she was doing such this wonderful thing. She was giving somebody else her seat so they could sit together. So I was like, okay, here's a really good chance. Here's a really good chance. I could see on the cusp I could get a little irritated and try to leave early, or I could just eat my lunch and rejoice in what she did, and also, hey, maybe this is a great new friend I would like to have, right? So I just started thinking like that, and soon it was, Christmas carols in my head, and everything was fine. Anybody else have anyone that they want to share? Because like I said last week about Thich Nhat Hanh saying that this is the real miracle. Everybody comes into meditation class and they tell them they want to have these experiences and they want to do this and they want to do that. And I even read, in this book, I don't know if it was in this book or an interview, maybe it was in one of our articles, where Kathleen McDonald, whose other name is Sangha Kadro, was saying that people come to her class and this guy told her that he wanted to be able to have lucid dreams, which are an amazing thing to have, but the reason he wanted to have them was so he could travel to all these different realms and all these different worlds and have all these different experiences. And she said, yeah, that would be really amazing. And would you be a calmer person as a result? Oh, it would just be kind of a really cool thing to do. And he was like, oh, yeah, I don't know that would really make any difference, except it would be really fun. So while those things may be fun, really, if we can change our moods, that's such a huge miracle. I mean, to me, the whole room takes on a different glow and color when that happens. And this season is particularly challenging. I don't know if any of you are having any of those challenges or anticipating those challenges coming up. But let's take a minute to think about those and try to work them. You know, how would you be? What do you want to be during the holidays? How do you want to feel? I know I want to feel as though I'm just like, I don't know how to say it. I know how to feel it, but I don't know how to say it. That nothing will kind of steer me off of that where I want to be. That I am the source of my own love, and it's not going to be blocked or given or taken out there, that I can just kind of carry that wherever I'm going. So if you feel similarly, then there's this meditation on love that I'm going to do a little bit differently. That's in this book as well. And so get in a comfortable position. Check your posture. Take a few cleansing breaths. Try to bring your thoughts to the present. And consider how nice it would be for yourself and others if you were able to love all beings. And just like you, all the people around you, all the creatures around you, simply want to be happy and avoid suffering. They're trying to make the best of their lives, even if they're making huge mistakes, even if they're angry and violent. This wish for happiness is what we have in common with every being. So now we're going to take a minute to just generate our own love, love in our own hearts. You can do this by thinking about someone you love, feelings of love that you have that have been given to you, the feeling of being loved. But detach it from the story. Just feel what it feels like to have love in your heart. You might imagine it as a bright, warm light, something pure, this positive energy that's glowing in your heart, that's yours, that's filling you, it's coming from you in your heart. You're just brimming with it. It's the kind of pure love that fills up a room that can't be diminished. So feel it surrounding you. How it helps you accept yourself completely with all your faults and shortcomings. This love just accepts it all. All of your shortcomings, all of your wishes. Imagine that warm energy in your heart expands until it completely fills your body and mind. And then let it flow out to others, starting with those around you, your family, your close friends, the people in your circle. Imagine this warm, luminous energy radiating from your body, touching them and filling their bodies and minds. And think deeply and sincerely how you wish they are happy. How you wish they would always feel good things, have positive experiences. How you wish them to be free of problems, sickness, sadness. And then let this love flow from you and your circle to all the people you have difficulty with. Just letting it flow so that they can also feel this incredible, luminous energy that you feel right now, like a wave of golden warmth washing over everyone, flowing out from your heart to all these people, wishing them to be free of confusion, of anger, of selfishness. Really wanting them to have peace of mind. And then keep letting this incredible energy and these warm feelings to all the people that you don't know in all parts of the world. This love that you feel is unlimited. So don't worry that it's going to run out. It's actually the opposite. As you let it flow out of you, it's increasing. I feel it bubbling up out of your heart like a wellspring. The more you're sending it around the world, the more it's increasing in your heart. Completely open your heart and imagine your love flowing in every direction to people who are lonely, who are sick, or confused, or angry. Imagine their suffering disappearing, their minds becoming peaceful and warm and luminous and full of pure happiness. every good experience. From their ordinary needs all the way to complete enlightenment. And again, there's no diminishing of your love. It's just continuing to grow, bubbling up and out of you, washing away all of the buttons that you have, the things that push your buttons, the hooks that you have. They're completely gone. All that's coming out is this pure golden love. And now know that you definitely have the potential to love everyone. And with this, all this love coming from yourself, think of something you would like to be able to do with it this next week. When would you like for it to surround you and hug you and hold you? When would you like to be able to call up this feeling and carry it with you? And then we're going to take a minute to dedicate this work that you've done today by coming here on a rainy night. How many people on this night are sitting trying to improve their minds? How many people are trying to love everyone? How wonderful it is that you're doing this. How amazing it is. And this energy that you've created through this work will not be lost. It's like a seed that you've planted, and when you dedicate it, you're the one determining how it will ripen. So decide how you would like this to ripen. Do you want this good energy that you've created to ripen so that you can reach the goals that you have, so that you can move forward with positive mind states, touching all those around you in ways that it's hard to imagine? And also think of all the incredible practitioners before you who are living now, who lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago, how they also dedicated their merit in the same way. So you can join yours with theirs, which just makes it richer and fuller and more powerful. I have a bag of candles. I don't know how many people are going to be here, but I think I have enough. I want everybody to take a candle so that you can sometime over the next week light it for your wish. And you can do a little meditation or not, but this is my little present to you. I was going to bring chocolate, but okay, just take one and pass the bag around. So whatever you wish you came up with this week, just today, and then light that candle. And I know that Geshe-la says, like, when you're lighting a candle, because the candle dispels darkness, right? So then you can light your candle and wish that you will be able to dispel darkness, that you will be able to bring light where there's darkness. That you may, and this is what he says when people light candles in his altar, he says, make a wish that you'll be able to dispel the darkness of a million billion worlds. And then you light the candle. Any questions from that? Okay. Did you all go to sleep? Or did you... I know when I first started doing some of these meditations, it would feel like my heart was about to burst right through me. I mean, it's just because I don't think we ever meditate on these. You feel that something there too? Just feel like it's just going to like explode. What did you say?
It doesn't run out, but I felt it kind of running out. Like I was getting really tired because I was running around all
these
different documents, and I was like exhausting
to love
everyone.
Okay. Well, then. So if you were at home, she was saying it did feel like it was running out, like it was exhausting to love everyone. Well, I heard somebody describe, like, so a bodhisattva is, if you haven't heard that term before, it's like a saint. You know, it's somebody's on the path to complete enlightenment, have reached all these stages. And for them, then, taking on other people's suffering and giving out, it's just like putting more wood on a fire. And so you can start with that before you do, because I mean, I was probably surprising you in different directions we were going, right? So before you do that meditation, you can really know that this is not going to be exhausting. This is going to feel so incredible. It's actually feeding you. So it's not like nursing a baby where you're going to be wiped out or, you know, oh my God, I can't even get up from the chair. It's not like that. It's going to be like, it's feeding you. So the more you give out, the more that's coming right back into you.
Okay,
so we're not doing Tonglen yet.
Okay.
So this is just feeling that, so I actually kind of can visualize like a well that's bubbling over and that it's just constantly full. So whatever visualizations help you, but I don't know if anybody else had that experience where it felt exhausting and to be giving. I remember the first time we did this meditation where I was supposed to imagine this beautiful, beautiful place that I would want to be. So I imagined it perfectly, all this house and the beach and the woods and all this. And then we were supposed to imagine just, you know, everybody else could be there. I was like, wait a minute, I don't know that I want the whole world in my place. You know, it's going to, all I just saw were these masses of people. Then I realized, no, the trick was to imagine that there's millions of those places that I just visualized for everybody else. That it wasn't that this place is now going to be as crowded as like New York City or something. So you have to know what your, you know, the goal is for those higher things. I mean, I remember one person saying, the kind of the rule of thumb with all of this is that it's meant to help you. It's not meant to, if it's not, then something needs to be reworked. And so it should not be exhausting or depleting. And we can, everyone got one? Okay, if somebody didn't get one, please come get one. I'll leave them right here. I think there's plenty. We have like 20 more in there. So you know, you need to just tweak something if it's not beneficial, because that's what it's meant to do. It's meant to help. And then this also, it's all, you know, about mind science. That's why we talked before about using an object as the focus of meditation. Using a visual object is instant biofeedback on how much your mind is moving. Well, then same thing with some of these analytical meditations. It's instant biofeedback. I'm like, oh, I'm doing something not quite right because I'm feeling this way or I'm feeling that way. So then we just need to figure out what that is so you can tweak it. So it's all about the science of the mind. You know, what works for one person is not going to work for another person, right? They got three different, at least, we got different ways of experiencing this. And what's going to work on one day is not going to work on a different day. All right. Well, I think we're done, unless somebody has something else to talk about. 10 minutes early. So I mean, you've already dedicated all your merits. So those are the bookends of any practice, you know, intention, then the practice, and then you dedicate. Yeah. All right. So great. I hope you all have wonderful holidays. Hope you have nice vacations from work and that, you know, it's a joy to be around all the people you're going to be around. and that you don't feel exhausted and depleted, but find ways to give to yourself and your heart and your mind, and that your mind stays calm. Okay. Good night.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, yeah, 2 weeks. Not next Monday. Monday after that.